to be back in the Lord's house. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's already been good. We've had, once again, good fellowship, another good meal. And as I said in the earlier part of the week, that it's always good to meet some new people, some more of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then tonight it's good to renew some acquaintances we met years ago. It's good to meet, see the Martinezes again. We were over here before. We heard them sing, and we have their tape. I'm still listening to it, and it's always a joy to hear them sing. Now, all the special numbers tonight was good. You know, any person or group that can sing a cappella are good. Amen. And I appreciate that. So it's just a blessing to be among God's people. I really mean that. There's a song that some of our folks have sung, and that is that as we serve the Lord, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. You know, the older you get, the sweeter the Lord gets, the sweeter His work becomes as we serve Him day by day. So it's just a blessing, and our desire here tonight is that we might be a blessing. We'd rather go home if we cannot be a blessing. And we want to look into the book of James tonight in chapter number 1. We want to read the first 12 verses. James chapter number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promise to them that love Him. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful to have the privilege to bow in Your holy and righteous presence. We're thankful, Lord, as the message we heard already tonight, we're thankful to have life. Thankful, Lord, that one day that we were born again. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. And I'm grateful, Lord, tonight that we have the privilege to meet here together as a group of people that have eternal and everlasting life given to us by God. We're thankful for this. And I ask you, Lord, tonight that you might take us in your hands and mold us and make us the vessel that you want us to be. Lord, that you illuminate my mind and speak through me tonight thy message that we might be able to be a blessing. And God, help us as thy children to take heed to what we hear and to apply the principles of thy word to our hearts and to our lives as we leave here, that we might bring forth fruit as we serve you for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now then, from these verses, we want to talk to you about the believer having victory in the midst of his trials. I'm thankful for the privilege to serve the Lord. As I said before, it's a blessing to know the Lord. It's a blessing, first of all, to be saved. It's a joy to have that eternal life. And it's a joy to serve the Lord. And I'm grateful that He's promised victory. So the believer, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can have victory and turn defeat into victory and turn trials into triumph. Instead of being victims, we become victors all because of the Lord. I tell you, it's a blessing to know Him. It's a blessing to have Him. As we said before this week, it's a blessing to know that the Lord lives in our heart. Jesus lives in our heart, and I'm grateful for that. So there are four essentials we see here in these verses tonight that we want to talk about, that we might have a victory in our trials. The first word is in verse number 2. Count. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. From this we see a joyful attitude. And then in the third verse, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's an understanding mind. And then in verse number 4, we see the word let. But let patience have her perfect work. Now we see a surrendered will. And then fourthly, we see in verse 5 through 8, we see the word ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now that's a heart that wants to believe. Now, as we think about this, beginning with the first word, that's the word count in verse number 2. Look at it again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, we see, first of all, that trials are certain. He said in that second verse, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. He didn't say if. He said when. And just as sure as we're alive, that trials are going to come. You know, the charismatics tonight, they've gone haywire. And they'll say, you know, that if you're saved and right with God, that everything's going to be all right. And if you're saved and right with God, there's no reason you shouldn't have plenty of money. If you're saved and right with God, you should never get sick, have any trouble. Every time I hear those guys, or you know, I think about men such as Job. I tell you, they need not tell me that Job wasn't right with God. But we all know what God did with Job. Come over in the New Testament, there's a man by the name of Paul. And nobody would say that he wasn't close to God. And he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times for God to remove it. God didn't remove it. But God gave him grace. God said, my grace is sufficient. So what I'm saying is, you see, sometimes God gets more glory out of us suffering than He does to remove the problem. But anyway, what I'm saying is, just as sure as we're alive, we're going to have problems. And I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be encouragement to you tonight because, as we, you know, we talked about that in the very first part of this week. In other words, the believers to be revived, the lost person is dead. Well, we all heard that message this morning, tonight already, before we got up here. And that, you see, I'm thankful for that life. We don't deserve it, but thank God for that life. And I'm grateful to have that life. I've had a long time. I've had that life a lot longer than some of you have been living. Amen. For about 60 years. I tell you, it's a joy. I remember as if it were yesterday. I remember the morning that I trusted Jesus. I'd been under preaching all of my life. As I told you, by the time I was 10 years old, I'd already heard more preaching than the average person might hear, you see, by the time I was 30. Because I was raised in a preacher's home. And now, I mean, he practiced his preaching. And I was under the convicting hand of God. And, you know, as we think about that, you know, that conviction is a terrible time. If you've been saved, you know about it. You know about that conviction. I was only under conviction for about 3 weeks. But I tell you what, in my household, 3 weeks of conviction was terrible. Because back in those years, my dad and his family, he had 6 kids. And every night, we had a family devotion. And we all get around the room and we'd read the Word of God. And I could remember as a child, you know, I wanted to get to where I could read so much. And by the way, I want you to know that I was able to learn to read quicker because I practiced and participated in Bible reading. Yeah. We'd all read the Word of God around the room. And then my dad would get on his knees before God and he'd pray and he'd ask God to save his kids. Man, every time he did, he was like a dagger sticking in my heart. So anyway, that was a serious time. And then, like the reason of that was because I had been under the Word of God all those years. And for about 10 years, I heard the Word of God. But then one Sunday morning there in Campton Baptist Church in Campton, Kentucky, I really heard it. Amen. This is real. It's a real reality, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm grateful for that life tonight that God gave me. So we realize that trials are certain. You know, over there in 1 Peter, just a few pages over, and in chapter number 4 and verse number 12, the Bible said, Peter saying, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice." Think about that. Can you imagine rejoicing in your troubles? Rejoicing in your problems? So many people, you see, are like the woman who fell down the steps and God said, "Thank God that's behind me." But listen, that's not what he's talking about. Listen, you see, but rejoice as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. All right, so we need to realize that these trials will come. And each one of us are going to have our troubles. We're going to have our trials. But thank God, he didn't tell you that you wouldn't have them. But thank God, he said, "I'll go with you through them." Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. All right, so you see, this does not mean a foolish action, but it means when we encounter or come across this, that God's there to take care of us and give us what we need. Now here in this verse, you see, the key word in this verse is count. Now, the count is a financial term. It means to evaluate. That's what God is saying here. So when we have trials, we should evaluate them in the light of what is God doing in my life. Listen to me. Everything that comes in our life, there's a purpose in it. Don't you forget that. If it's good or if it's bad. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:28, he said, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." He didn't say everything was good. He said everything works together for good. You may think it's terrible. And by the way, some of the hardest things in our life, some of the things that we detest the most in our life, are the best things that ever happened to us. God is working in our life and He knows what's best for us. And so, we just have to submit to it. And so I say, we all have our troubles. We could take out time tonight to talk about all of our troubles in life and we'd be here all night. I could tell you about a lot of things tonight. But I want you to know everything that's come my way, it's been for my good and for God's glory. He knows what He's doing. So this the key word here, you see, is, counts. So this explains why the believer can have joy in the midst of the trials. That's why the song says, you know, peace in the midst of the storm. I tell you, that doesn't make any sense how hard the winds blow. I'm grateful that the Lord is there. You see, there again, He didn't say He'd remove it. He just said He'd go with you through it. And I'm grateful for that wonderful and glorious truth. All right. Now then, so you see, Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him, according to Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. So you see, our values determine our evaluation. You know, go with us over here in the book of Job. We mentioned him a while ago, and he's a good example tonight of that person who suffered trouble. I tell you, and he was able to bear it. We notice here in Job chapter 23 in verse number 10, he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take." I'm proud of that. God knows the way I take. He knows where I am. He knows what's going on because he's in control. I'm grateful. He's taking care of my life. He's directing me. And I'm grateful for that. He's going before me. He knows the way before I ever get there. All right. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I tell you, that's a glorious truth. Thank God for these wonderful and glorious truths. And going back again into 1 Peter chapter 1 this time, and look here in verses 6 through 9 in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we're grateful tonight for these wonderful and glorious truths. All right. Now then, we want to look here in verse number 3 for the second word. We've talked about count. Now notice here in verse number 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing, in other words, it's a blessing to understand. As you think about counting, having a joyful attitude. I tell you, it's a blessing to have a joyful attitude. You know, it's sad tonight. It really bothers me because we've got so much anger in the world today, even in our country. I mean, people are so angry, and it don't take much. I mean, just a least little thing. I mean, they're ready to explode. But you know, I'm grateful for this matter of being a child of God and counting, you see, as he said here about the trials. When the trials come, we can have a peace in the midst of the storm and we don't have to explode. I talk about, you know, our people about this matter of how much pressure can we stand. You know, it's one thing for everything to go good, and it's easy to go around praising the Lord. But then when things begin to go bad, how much pressure can we stand? How much pressure can we stand before we explode? In other words, how long is our fuse? You know what a fuse is? I've told you, you know, some of you about when I was in Arizona, my dad did mission work and we bought some property and got trying to get ready to build a church building and tried to make a driveway back to the church. And of course, we had to move a bunch of pine trees. I know when you think about Arizona, you think about desert. But anyway, there's some of the finest pine timber there you'll find anywhere. But anyway, the point is that we had to make a road and we cut the trees down, moved them out of the way, and then we dynamited the stumps. But anyway, you see, we would light that fuse and run. Because I was just a boy, I had a time out of that. Anyway, we'd light those fuses and then we'd run and hide behind the next tree. But the point I'm trying to say is, folks, because we knew that when that fire came to the end of that fuse, there's going to be an explosion. And that's what happens to a lot of people. You see, they're always exploding because there's something missing in their heart. First of all, it's Jesus that's missing. That's why so many people tonight are angry. They're so angry. I mean, I even like to drive down the road and look at people and you don't find very many people smiling anymore. Am I telling the truth? I mean, they're angry. I mean, and if you don't believe it, just give them a little Bible in the road and watch them cut you out. Amen. Oh yes, and so anyway, we have an angry society tonight. But you see, I'm not talking about the society. I'm talking about God's children. Hallelujah, that we have this joy. We can count, you see, this great, great blessing for God. Count it all joy when tribulations come. Count it all joy when trouble comes. And just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to serve you. Thankful I can stand in my place. We talked about that the first night here. Standing in our place. And you know, whatever it is and wherever it is, I just want to stand for the Lord. I'm proud to have a place. I don't deserve a place. You see, I deserve to go to hell, but thank God He loved me and gave Himself for me, gave His Son Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and He redeemed me by His power. And tonight I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's a joy to live for God and serve Him from whom all blessings flow. All right, so he's saying here in verse 3 now, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, some things believers need to know, you see, to make it better, to face our trials and benefit from them. Keep in mind, we're talking about our trials and being able to benefit from them. Like I said, everything that comes to life, there's a purpose in it. God's doing something in your heart. You know, hear people say, well, God's trying to do something. No, God's not trying. He's going to do it. Amen. And I just need to be submissive to Him and say, Lord, here I am. And now, you know my desire is, Lord, use me. Yeah. And also, Lord, if you see fit, abuse me. Whatever you want to do, just take me and get it honor and glory to thyself. All right, so faith, by the way, faith is always tested. We have a great example in the Bible, a man by the name of Abraham. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 11. And here, you know what it says, like I told you in the beginning now, I didn't come here to preach anything new. If I preach anything new, you better ship me back to Tennessee. Hey, amen? Because this stuff I'm preaching to you has been preached over and over and over again. But you know the beautiful thing about it is it never gets old. It's always good. It's always fresh. What a blessing. All right. So here in Hebrews chapter 8, notice in verse number, 11 and verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. I want you to know tonight it's wonderful to follow the Lord. As I told you before, I went to Trenton, Tennessee in 1984. And I didn't know where I was going. I didn't go very far from Jackson, about 30 miles. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I didn't know. I mean, listen, it's not easy to leave a good church, a good thriving church. Manuel Church in Jackson had been the finest missionary church I ever pastored or in my life. We were supporting 32 missionaries when I resigned. I didn't have to resign. But anyway, I resigned and went for nothing. I resigned and went over to Trenton and I had 6 people. And I didn't even have a house to move in. Didn't have any place to move my family. Well, I've been living in pastor's home for 20 years. Never had, didn't have a house, hadn't had any need of one. I had one, amen. But then I said, look here, I ain't got a place to move my family. But what I'm saying is, folks, you see, I'm talking about doing what God wants you to do. And I told Brother Wayne since I've been here that, you know, for all those years, my wife and I thought we had been living by faith. But I can tell you one thing, it was only after we went to Trenton that we learned to live by faith. We went over there with nothing. You know what that is? Zero. Nothing. Because the house I'm living in now, it belongs to me and the Lord, my wife and I and the Lord. He gave it to us. I won't get into all that, but He did. But anyway, I was trying to find a house, and that house was for sale. The bank had repossessed it. The Southern Baptist preacher had bought it and didn't pay for it. Isn't that a shame? But anyway, I won't get into that. Because independent Baptists do that too. I'm sorry. But anyway, what's not right? I believe when you sign the line, you need to do it, amen. But anyway, we're talking about being what God wants us to be. So I went in and talked to the banker about I wanted to rent the house. He said, I won't rent it, but I don't want to rent it. I want to sell it. And he said, let me sell it to you. I said, I can't buy it. He said, why? Well, I said, it's easy. First of all, I don't have any money. Number two, I don't even have a job. I don't have any income. But I said, I want you to check my credit because I'm coming over here and God's got a job for us to do. But anyway, make a long story short, a few weeks later, he called me and he said, I'll check your credit out. I said, I'm glad you have. He said, we're going to sell you that house. We're going to sell it to you for what you said you'd give us for. He asked me what I'd give him for and I thought I'd insult him. And I gave him a figure. He said, we're going to sell it to you for that. And he said, but what I'm saying is, folks, you see, God knows what He's doing. God put us there, and we've been able to live by faith all these years. If I had time, I could tell you about some things. I told you about Jennifer being so sick for 10 years. And how I could tell you about the trip to Arizona. And how it was going to cost us $100 a night. We was out there 20 days. It was going to cost us $100 a night to stay there. We had to rent a car. We had to fly there and fly back and all these things. But I want you to know, I went there and stayed 20 days and 20 nights and came back home and had the money to pay it all off. Glory to God. He's real. I'm talking about living by faith. Living by faith, trusting God. Yes, what I'm saying is, I went to Trenton to do a job for God because He laid on my heart. And I just simply said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Glory to God. You know, the best thing to preach about is what you know about. Amen. I'm not talking to you about something some doctor told me. I'm talking about what I experienced. I've been there. As the old saying is now, I've been there and done that. Okay? It's a blessing. We're talking about knowing. So you see, And we count, have a good attitude. God, help me to have a good attitude. We all, as God's children, we need to have a good attitude because we're supposed to be a witness for the Lord. Too many of us are like the kid standing on, crying up on the gate, was rubbing the old mule, long-faced mule. And the kid said to the mule, he said, you must be a Baptist. You looseless like Grandpa. Listen, folks. We shouldn't have a long face. We should have the joy of the Lord. You see, we should have a joyful attitude. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about when everything is going wrong. You ever have a day when you say, wonder why I haven't got up? Everything's gone wrong today. Well, just praise God anyhow. Oh, listen. That may not be good English, but it sure does make you feel better. Listen. Think about it now. Understanding. Yes. So, there are some things we need to understand. So faith, you see, Abraham was tested. God tested Abraham by calling him to step out by faith. You see, God tests us to bring out the best. Did you know that? God, did you hear what I said? God will test us to bring out the best in us. I mean, He'll put the pressure on. He'll turn the heat on. You know, as I said, sometimes He wants to show how much we can stand before we lose our temper. You know, the Bible tells us to be long-suffering. How much can we take before the fuse blows out? Oh, yes. Now then, so testing proves that we belong to God. Isn't that good? Testing proves that we belong to God. And I'm thankful for that wonderful truth. So you see, testing works for us and not against us. Do you get it? Testing works for us and not against us. I mean, God knows what He's doing. And so, it's actually saying it's God's approval. Turn your Bible, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. He says, for our light affliction, notice that, light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now notice, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Yes, testing, you see, works for us. I'm thankful for that. You know, it's not that God hates us, it's because God loves us. Because it's very important that we suffer because, you see, trials, rightly accepted, help us to mature. God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up. There's one thing I've told our folks there at Berea. I've been there, it'll be 22 years this coming September, Brother Wayne and I. You know, we have a whole lot in common. And this week we've even found out more things we have in common. I won't take our time to get into that, but we still, it's good to be around somebody you agree with, amen? I mean, it's a blessing because, first of all, we start off with brothers in Christ, amen? And anyway, I could just say a whole lot, but I love him. Appreciate him. It's good to be in his home with he and his wife and daughter. But anyway, and like I said, I just love my brothers and sisters, amen? I love my own. You know, as I said, I'm proud to be a Fortner. There's some Fortners I'm not so proud of, but I'm proud to be a Fortner. And I'm proud to be a child of God, and I like to be around my brothers and sisters. Okay, now then. So, you see, trials produce patience. Trials produce endurance. And trials, it produces ability to keep going when things get tough. Oh, we need to, as I said, we need to be strong. We need to stand and wait on the Lord. Turn your Bible back to Romans chapter 5 and look at verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, you know, I heard about this preacher to see this lady one day, and she was saying, Brother Pastor, I need more patience. And he said, okay. And then she just kept on and she said, Brother Pastor, would you pray for me that I have more patience? He said, no, I don't want to do that. She said, oh yeah, I want you to pray for me that I have more patience. Help me, preacher, pray for me. And he said, are you sure? She said, yeah, I want patience. So he began to pray and he said, oh God, you're going to have to give this woman a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. She said, wait a minute. She didn't want patience as bad as she thought she did. But if you're going to have patience, you're going to have some trouble first. I'm trying to help you with, you know, we need to, like I said, we need to be strong, like I said a while ago, when I've been there to Berea for 22 years, and one thing I guess they could tell you I harp on, and that is, growing up. I told them, keep in mind that this is a new church. Went there with six people. Had to build a church. I didn't build it, God did. All God told me to do is preach the Word. Amen. Preach the Word. Paul said, preach the Word, be it in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So God has to build the church. If He don't build it, it won't stand. But I told them, I said, I've seen so many churches fuss and feud and fight. So some churches don't think they're doing the will of God unless they're fighting. Amen? They don't think they're doing anything. Well, that's not God's plan. God wants us to have a joyful attitude. Thank God for that. Okay. Now, so we rejoice in these glorious truths. Yes. So you see, patience must be learned. Do you get it? Patience must be learned. And can only be learned through trials. So the child that does not learn patience don't learn very much. And like I said, I want to be mature. You know, I've been preaching a series of lessons, messages to our church on Wednesday night on spiritual growth. I'm talking about, I've been at it already months and I got months to go yet. Spiritual growth. You know, it's such a joy to teach people. Because in our church we have all kinds of, before they got in our churches, all kinds of denominations. I baptized all kinds of people. I baptized Jehovah's Witnesses and Church of Christ and so-called and all kinds of other. And I baptized some Baptists. Amen? I remember right now the man that's our treasurer, he came to our church by letter. And he's a great big fella, fine fella. But anyway, after he'd been in our church, I don't know how long he'd been there, but one day he came to me just all tore up, said, Brother Tom, I'm not even saved. I was able to help him, and then we baptized him, and God had to save him. I couldn't save him, you know. I don't know why I mentioned it before or not, but anyway, there's a preacher, used to be from Clinton, Kentucky, he's dead and gone now, but he came down, he left Clinton and went down to in the area where I am now, and pastored a church. It was a country church, but it was a big church. And out of Humboldt. And anyway, stayed there several years. One day went back to Clinton just to visit, and he's walking down the street, and this drunk came down the sidewalk, and he's taking the whole sidewalk from one side to the other, you know. And Brother Williams is trying to figure out which way he wanted to zig when he zagged. But anyway, finally, the man came right towards him and stuck his hand out and said, Brother Williams. And he said, yeah, I'm Brother Williams. He said, don't you know me? And he said, no, sir, I don't believe I do. Well, he said, you should. You saved me. And Brother Williams said, you look like somebody I'd save. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, that's right. Listen, let my friends, the God of heaven's got to do it. If he don't do it, it won't be worth doing. Oh, yes. Now then, so as we think about this, we rejoice in the Lord. So we must go through difficulties of life to learn to trust God. And I'm talking about as a believer. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about believing God, you see, because He's directing us and He wants us to grow. And He wants us to have good character. I want you to notice here with us and go in the book of Galatians chapter 5. You're familiar with this. Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that, you see, that the fruit of the Spirit is Christian character. I'm thankful for character. Talking about maturing now. You see, character is what you are. Character. We need to be of good character. Alright, so we see that Christian character is a manifestation of nine graces. Look here, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That's what you get when you get saved. That's why you have that joyful attitude. All right. When God saves us, we have love because He is love. And when He saves us, we have joy because He is joy. And you see, when He saves us, we have peace because He is peace. We don't make peace with God. He is peace. He comes in. He comes into our heart. What a blessing. Then He goes on talking about long suffering. I've already talked about that. And how long is He fused? All right. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness and temperance against such there is no law. What a blessing. What a joy. All right. So we need to study God's Word that we might grow in the Word of God and grow as a child of God. Now then, let's go back to our text again here in the book of James. And we see then the third word. And that is the word let. Look at it here in verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then we notice here in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the fire of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the fire thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Yes. Oh. So God cannot build our character without our cooperation. You see, if we resist Him, then He has to chasten us into submission. I'm grateful that my Heavenly Father loves me. My dad loved me. And He proved it. Sometimes we don't think so. You know, it's kind of like the little boys in the schoolroom, and he's misbehaving, and teacher came along and shook him real good and said, "Johnny, I think the devil's got a hold of you." He said, "I think he has too." But listen to me, folks. You see, God wants us to live right. Amen. He wants us to be right. And so we need to see the value of this. And so, listen, as we think about that, God wants to work in our heart. He will work in our heart. And so, if we don't submit to Him, He'll have to chasten us. I never got a whipping I enjoyed. But I'll tell you one thing, according to the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, it's for my benefit. It'll yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know what? Both of our boys have been missionaries. David went first of all to France and stayed in France for several years. And then he went down into Spain and helped Neil. Neil's been in Spain for 27 years. But here's what I'm telling you is, when, you know, after those boys been on the field for a while, both of them, when they'd come in, and they would talk to their mom and daddy, and here's what they told us. They said, "We want to thank you for being strict on us. If you hadn't been strict on us and made us be individuals that are standing on our own feet, we could have never stayed on the mission field. We had to come back home to mama." Amen? A lot of them do. A lot of people do. But anyway, you see, we tried to train them right. And we tried to prepare them for the job. All right. So, you see, there are three works involved in a complete Christian life. I want you to look here with us in Ephesians chapter 2. We're very familiar with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Thank God for these truths. All right. So, there are three works involved in a complete Christian life. And by the way, like I said before, you know, I'm very careful about how I use the word Christian. Because today it's drug in the mud. Amen? Listen, my Bible tells me to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Alright, I won't get into all that. But anyway, we find, first of all, you see, the work that God does for us. We've already talked about that this week, and that is God giving Jesus to die on the cross. I'm so thankful for what He has done for us. I thank God that God loved me. And every day when I go to my place of prayer, I thank God for loving me when I was unlovable. I thank God for giving His Son that He might come to this sin-cursed earth and live a perfect life and die on the cross of Calvary. You know, as Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and how that Christ was buried, and how that Christ arose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And that's where the power is. And that's where salvation is, in Him. Thank God for that. Yes, and so Christ gave His life for us. All right, then you see that's the work that God does for us. And then there's the work that God did in us. You see, I'm thankful for that. He says we are His workmanship. God did a work of grace in our heart. We weren't looking for Him. We were lost. We were blind. And we were depraved from God's divine nature. And God made the, as we say, time and again, that God took the initiative like He did in the garden, you see, with Adam and Eve. Oh, I'm thankful for what God has done for us. He did the work. Brought us to where we are today. All right, so the work He did in us. And then thirdly, the work that God does through us. I'm thankful for that. Yes, I'm grateful for the fact that God can work through us. You see, He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in two good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So God builds character before He calls us to service. You know, He, as we said here, He must work in us before He can work through us. He worked 25 years getting Abraham where He wanted him. He promised Abraham that son Isaac 25 years before. Man, it's just such an outstanding lesson. I love to study Abraham. As I said, he's one of my heroes. But I tell you what, God told him what He's going to do, and Abraham and Sarah did like a lot of people do. They tried to help God out. You know the story. And we're still suffering because of their failure today. Amen. Go look over in the Middle East. It's a mess over there. But anyway, we won't get into all that. But I can tell you one thing. We can always look over there among those Jews and see where we are, because that's God's timetable. All right. We know, as I said before, Jesus is coming. I know when He's coming. I know He's coming soon. And I want you to know that you can keep your eyes on the Jews. And I tell you one thing. America had better stay where we are. We better leave the Jews alone. Okay, you know that. But I just want to remind our president, he needs to be careful. Amen. We need to pray for him too. Need to pray for him. You say, I don't like him. Well, pray for him anyway. I like him. He's not perfect. He's made some mistakes. But anyway, has anybody here hadn't made any? But anyway, I won't get on. And I'm not into politics. It just burns my heart to hear people talk about, you know, it's a church that elected. Listen, you know, when I was growing up, you had to go to church to have morals. You got it? My wife's daddy, for example, I mean, he wasn't saved when I married her. And he was, I mean, he didn't ever go to church, but he had some morals. He had more morals then than some people have the day that's in the church. My wife will tell you right quick that her daddy wouldn't even let them study their school lessons on Sunday. He didn't go to church, but what I'm saying is he had morals. And that's what I believe that our president elected was morals. But anyway, they want to blame it on the church. Well, the church ought to have some morals, but they need some too. I'll get off of that. But anyway, listen, we need to see the value of this. All right, now then, as we think about these wonderful and glorious truths. Now then, so you see, as we think about this matter of letting. Yes, Abraham, God used him greatly. But you know what? God waited for this, to give this child to them where they could really know that God did it. They let Abraham get to be 100 years old and say, Renania, before He gave them the child. And when he did, they really knew it was the Lord. Like I told you before, I want you to know tonight, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, I didn't see how I could be a preacher. I've told you that before, and I guess our folks get tired of it, but I don't get tired talking about it. Because it's God's work. It wasn't me. I didn't decide to be a preacher. I mean, I went every way against it because I didn't see how I could do it. But anyway, I got to where God wanted me to be. God wanted me to surrender. That's what we're talking about. This matter of letting is a surrendered will. Surrendered will. That's all God wants is a surrendered will. Listen to me now. Child of God, if you want to serve God, all you got to do is surrender. We're talking about letting. Let God. Yes. All right. Now then, as we think about this, we rejoice. You know, God worked in Joseph 13 years. We all know the life of Joseph, how he was a type of Christ, how he was hated by his brethren, how he was he was figuratively killed. They intended, some of those brothers intended to kill him. You know the story. Then he got down there in Potiphar's house, and the Lord just was blessing him and blessing Potiphar and everybody else. Anybody that Joseph had anything to do with, God's blessing all of them. Potiphar's wife, she got a case on him. First of all, she made eyes at him. And then she began to make plans to have an affair with him. You know, we call it affair today, but it's adultery and fornication. Amen. You know, they try to fly it up today. But anyway, I won't get into it. You know all those things. I'm just getting the point over. Now, So, but anyway, you know the story. And how that she tried to force him. He was a tremendous man. And he ran out on her. And she kept his coat. And she did the thing that most folks do. She lied. She said, that Hebrew that you brought in here, he tried to force me. All right. And then we come, there's another man. You know, God worked 80 years in Moses to get him ready for a 40-year job. I'm talking about getting things ready. All right, now then. So you see, the matured person does not argue with God's will. God's working in our heart. We just say, yes, Lord. Like I said before, I believe this is what God wants. I just simply want to be a help to you. I want to be a strength to you and encourage you. Like I said, I'm not preaching anything new. I'm just here to back up what Brother Wayne's taught you. And I thank God for that. All right. So the matured person does not argue with God's will. Instead, he accepts it willingly. He obeys the will of God. Yes. All right. Now then. So you see, God's testing have a way of leveling us. You see. And now then, we come to the last word. We want to notice here in verse number 5. And that's the word ask. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. All right. You see, these believers were having problems with their praying. And God was giving them a lesson. And so, James instructs them to just simply ask. You know, Jesus gives us a lesson on prayer. And He said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened. Did you know something? Did you know every time you pray, God answers you? You say, well, preacher, I prayed and God didn't answer. No, you didn't. If He didn't answer, you didn't pray. And I got news for the world. I want you to know everything that calls itself prayer is not a prayer.
That's right.
But if you really pray, God will answer you. He may say yes and do it. You know, we parents know what that's all about. Your kids ask for things, and if you think it's best, you give it to them. You say yes. And sometimes they ask, and you have to say no. Did you know today that some of our kids don't know what the word no is? Well, look at me like it. I'm dealing with people. And I have found, and my ladies who work in the nursery tell me, did you know, Brother Tom, that some of these kids don't know what the word no means? We got this new philosophy, and you know, they got this idea that they're little people, and they're supposed to do what they want to do. God have mercy. They need to be taught. You know that. And I want to tell you tonight, I appreciate this church. You got a whole lot of little ones. We have. And I appreciate you. And I appreciate your little ones. And it's a blessing to me. The one of the sweetest things about a child is when a child behaves. Some of these parents say, I can't do nothing with little Johnny. I wish they'd give him to me for about 5 minutes. Let me give you an example. This man was standing in front of a place like Walmart and had one of these riding horses, you know. And the kid was on this horse and Mama was trying to get him off. And he's having a kicking fit. He wasn't about to get off. He was screaming. He was pawing. He was hollering. And this man, he just walked up there to the kid and he whispered in that kid's ear. And the kid got off, went to his Mama. And that woman came over there and said, sir, what did you say to my boy? He said, I told him, if you don't get off that horse, I'm going to wear you out. He told the boy what the mama should have told him. They say, oh, it'll warp their personality. God have mercy. People say, oh, we've got this generation gap. Well, I want you to know, when I was at home, my dad never weighed over 135 pounds, but he roared in every room. We didn't have a den. I'm telling you, and I want you to know, we respected him. We carried him all the way to the grave and stood by. Listen, because we respected him because of his stand he took, and he brought us upright. And listen to me, children, if your mom and daddy's still living, you ought to thank God for it. And you ought to, before you go to bed tonight, you ought to tell them you love them.
Because I can't tell my dad that. He's been dead since 75. I can't tell my mama that. She's been dead since 83. Oh, isn't this good? I'm talking about, you see, maturing. We need to be mature. We need to grow in the grace of God. What a blessing. All right. Now then, so you see, he's saying that we need to ask. Yes. So Jesus instructed them to ask wisdom. You see, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's one thing to know something, but it's also another thing to know how to handle it. Yes. What a blessing. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Now, why do we need wisdom when we're going through trials? Think about it. Why do we need it? We need wisdom so we will not waste the opportunities God has given us to mature us. Everything that God does in our life, like I said, keep in mind, everything comes in your life. There's a purpose in it. No accidents with God. I don't like to use that word accident. No accidents with God. He just works in our life and we just need to praise Him for it. We need to find out Lord, what are you doing? When God begins to work in our life, He's doing something. It may be for our good. It may be like it was with Job. It may be for correction. God may be trying to get you back in line, just like you do your children. Like I tell you, I thank God every day I go to prayer. I thank God for my parents. They've been gone a long time. But I still thank God for them. I'll never forget it. I thank God for the standards I was raised by. I didn't like them when I was going and home. Well, I thought my daddy was terrible. Standards he had. And by the way, when he set a standard, you kept it. Yeah, you did it. You may not like it, but you did it. I'm talking about respect. And listen, let me tell you something now. These young folks, basically, I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about the basic young folks today. They don't have any respect for their parents. They'll spit in their face. The parents are to blame for it in many cases. We need to stand what's right. And you know, whenever David Fortner, my older son, he by the time he was 16, he was over 6 foot tall. I had never been 6 foot. But I told him, you know, we was in Murray, Kentucky, you know, when the hippie time started. I'm you young folks, now you can go home and say, Brother Fortner, I really got deep tonight because I got way over your head. Jennifer Fortner, my baby, was in the car with us one day. She and I, we'd been visiting, going down the street there by Murray State University. And here this Absalom was walking down the street. And his hair just a flowing. He was beautiful head of hair. And this beard. And Jennifer said, Daddy, there's Jesus. Uh-huh. So my boys wanted to let their hair get long. And I told David when he's 6 foot tall, I said, Son, as long as you put your feet on my table, you're going to get your hair cut. Somebody said, you's mean. I had a church member, one of my deacons told me, you're mean. Well, I won't get into that, but he's dead now and he ain't got a child serving God. It pays to be right. I love you. I'm trying to help you. As I said, I'm just here to encourage you. I'm not telling you anything you had never heard. I'm just trying to let you know somebody believes something besides Brother Wayne. Some of you didn't even know I existed. But you're going to know it before I leave here. Amen? Yes. And I want you to, you see, I came down here to, I want you to remember me when I leave. Not because I'm good looking, not because I got so much hair. Brothers, and his wife, they knew me when I had hair. I got a little now, I'm proud of what I got, but I'll tell you one thing. You know, I've always said I don't care if it turned gray, but I hate if it turned loose. But anyway, listen, these are great truths. We need to stand with them. Yes. All right. Now then. So Jesus instructed them how to ask. He said in verse number 6, look, but let him ask in faith. Just believe. Ask believing. Like I said, whatever it is, you see, like I said a while ago, when you pray, God hears you. He may say yes and do it. He may say no, and here's that bad one. He may say, wait a while. Ooh, that'll kill us. Wait a while. We don't like to wait. If you don't believe it, line up at Walmart. But everyone knows you, amen. They don't like to wait. They want to go through. But anyway, we need to see this. So, we do not need to be afraid. You see, for God, He'll answer. And He'll take care of us. So, He says here, nothing wavering. In other words, not doubting. Just pray believing. Like I said, pray, Lord, here it is, and I want you to do it as you see fit. First of all, like I said a while ago, Lord, I want you to use me. But if you see fit to abuse me, I'm yours. God is sovereign. He knew what He wants to do. You know, my wife's mother and dad were, after he got saved, they weren't Baptists. But I believe they were God's children. They just didn't know. But anyway, I won't get into all that. But they was with that group that believed if you live right, and there was no reason why you couldn't be healed. And my wife's mother talked to her numbers of times, and she said, "Mac, I don't understand. Jennifer's so dedicated. You know, I'm proud of her. She went to a Christian school for, I'm talking about a Christian school. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, she went to a Christian school for 7 years, and I didn't have any problem with her. I didn't have to keep any, tight on her, you know, with her standards. She made her own standard because of the Word of God. We had no problem with her wanting to wear dresses. We had no problem with her wanting to cover her body up. I like that. But anyway, her mama, my wife's mama said, "I don't understand that. Why God don't heal her?" And here's what Mac told her finally. She said, "Mama, God is sovereign. And He can do what He wants to with Jennifer." Amen? She's His. And He has. He's done it. He's healed her. And she had to go through a whole lot to get it. She had to have her colon removed. Tonight she don't have a colon. That's the large intestines. You know, she has a small intestine with no large intestines. She's got two artificial hips. But I mean, she works every day. She's got about 23 women under her. And she's in a position in a bank. And she's got about 11 banks under her. And every morning she sees to it that every one of those banks got enough money for the day. She's healed. Glory to God. God has ways of doing it. And so, you see, like I'm preaching myself now. If you don't get anything out of that, you just pray for me because I'm getting it. I needed this. Sometimes I have to remind myself that God's good. During that 10 years when Jennifer's in the hospital, from 1 to 7 times every year, and some of those hospital bills went over $100,000 for several of them over. But anyway, the point was, you see, that God was working. And we just had to say, "Lord, here I am. Send me." My wife at that time was working. She was running a clothing store there in Kernan. And she'd go over there and sit with her at night and work in daytime. And I'd go over there and sit with her in daytime. And we took care of her. And she was at home. I moved my study in the home. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that's just the way it is. But God's great. Amen. You used to have a friend over in Murray, Kentucky. He was a missionary. He had spent 18 years in Brazil, and he had a statement. He always said, he called me Tommy. Every time I'd go by, he talked, he said, "Tommy, God is all right." Isn't that good? God is all right. He knows what He's doing, and He never does anything wrong. He knows what I need, and He does for me what I need. Thank God for that truth. Okay. Now then, so we need to ask in faith. Yes. And you know, we come to verse 12, we're going to quit. Put the caboose on. You know what that means. That's the last one. Okay. "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." You see, the man that endures temptations shall have joy. That's what he's saying. So he said there in verse number 7, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Yes. Oh my, what a blessing. Yes. Now then. So you see, our outlook is very important. Like I said, keep in mind, we need to have a joyful outlook. We need to have a joyful attitude as we serve the Lord. Alright. Now, you see, he's not saying here that sinners are saved by enduring trials. He's not saying that. Like I told you already. We know that. But you see, I'm thankful that believers will be rewarded by enduring trials. God will live. He'll reward us for our labor. Isn't that good? What a blessing. God, He tells us what we need to do, and then He blesses us for doing it. That's such a blessing tonight. So this is God's message. Now, what is it God would have you to do? You know, what I've been talking about tonight, you may not know much about it. I'm sure I know that some of you do. Some of you already know some things I'm talking about. I could guide into a lot of things. You know, parents suffer a lot of things. Parents suffer a lot of things with their children. I've got some people in my church that's lost their children. I can't sympathize with that. I say that's a terrible thing to have to lose a child. And so some of you may have done that. You know, I may be right on the line. And then on the other side, there may be those here, you're sitting back there and say, well, I've never experienced that. Hang around. Just hang on. You probably will. And you could, and I hope you don't, but you probably will, because what our text say, he didn't say that you might. He said you would. You would. These things will come. And we just need to be aware of the fact that these things will come. But I want you to know, God wants us to mature. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be able to bear it. Lord, whatever your will is, just take me in. Do whatever that you feel is best for me. God knows what's best. And He'll do what, keep in mind, I repeat myself, He'll do for you what is best for you. Come back to Romans 8:28. We say that, we quote it all the time, and a lot of times I'll write my name at the funeral home, and I'll write Romans 8:28. I believe it. All things, not just part of them, all things work together for good. And I'm grateful for that. Yes, they work together for good. In other words, they'll bring that about which needs to be done. And we just need to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Whatever you want in my life, may it be so. As the songwriter comes, the pianist will come. We want to give an invitation tonight. And would you, in your heart and mind, just say, Lord, here I am, whatever you want. First of all, are you saved? If you're not saved, that's what you need. You need the Lord Jesus. God loves you. Jesus paid the debt. I'm so thankful for that. We sing that great song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Let's stand together while we sing number
113.
Let God have His way, would you?